The following presentation is the audio of one of five webinars on practical social networking presented by Ian Griffin and Jim Carrillo in September 2009. A recording of the complete series of webinars, which includes the visual element of the screen referenced in this audio-only version, is available for purchase at socialnetworking101.biz.
So, let's get going in the final of the five series. The first part is going to be on Twitter, and then integrating all of the social networks we've talked about, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and so on.
All right. So, as the beginning of this seminar, I'm going to have Ian jump right into the basics of Twitter and tweeting, and he'll kind of give us the groundwork of what we can use this for. And then I'm going to show you how to extend Twitter and use it for a really robust way of gathering more information or determining the best things and ways to market your business. Then we'll look at how to integrate some of the networks, and Ian's got some good tricks that he uses, so he writes once and yet publishes to many different places. And then I'm going to talk about something that I'm passionate about, and that's making sure you have a purpose when you're using these social networks. Although it is fun at first, if you're in business and all you're doing is having fun, then you're missing the whole point of the marketing through social media. And then finally, we'll cover some of the practical applications, not just on how we're using Twitter and social media, but how some other companies that we've seen are doing a great job are using it. Some of the things that we hope that you'll learn is what you'll need to do to get started on Twitter and why you should even bother with Twitter. Trust me, if you're anything like me, I was a no way, not going to touch Twitter, won't even waste my time. But I've converted, and hopefully we'll show you why you can convert too. We'll show you some tools that you can use to manage your Twitter tweets, and the top tips for integrating all the social media that we've talked about. And then finally, we want you to walk away with how you're going to use social networking to advance your brand beyond the fun that you're having.
Okay, so let's get going on Twitter and tweeting, and I'll cover some of the basics. Now, it's kind of interesting to see the things you can do with Twitter. I put together this list of keywords that I pulled off various places like searching in Google for things people do with Twitter. It's definitely, like we said, it's definitely one of the things you can advance your personal brand with. It's actually what's called a micro-blogging platform, as you'll see in a minute. It's limited to 140 characters, and you can pretty much say anything you want, from the trivial, like just let the dog out, to something way more profound and useful. You can use it for communications, group conversations, either with people that you know through work groups or clients or friends or family. You can get answers to questions. And the thing about Twitter that is so powerful is it's real time. So it's used at events, for instance, and conferences. Increasingly, you go to conferences these days. I was at one in Silicon Valley 10 days ago, and they actually projected onto the screen behind the panelists live tweets that were coming both from the audience and from around the country to people listening to a web feed, questions and opinions and comments on the presentation. That's a little unnerving for some of the old school professional speakers to have people, you know, looking down at their iPhones or their BlackBerries and tweeting, but it does increase that level of participation and that level of conversation that we've said is one of the key words in social media. When you sign on, when you go to twitter.com, even if you don't have an account, guess what? You can start using Twitter. You are immediately given a search button, a search box, or a search window, like in the well-known Google, to see what people are saying about whatever you type in there. For example, I'm from a town called Crewe in England, spelled C-R-E-W-E, and just before I did this, we came online tonight, I put in the word crew, C-R-E-W-E. It's, 90% of the tweets were from people in my hometown. I haven't lived there for many, many years. But I could see an update on the sports teams there. I could read about some business activity and just some trivia, and it was kind of fun. Any keyword you can think of to do with businesses that you're involved in, the topics that might interest you. We'll be talking in a few minutes about what these strange little symbols are, hashtags down here. Don't worry about all that yet. Michael Jackson, very topical in the last couple of months, I guess. You put that in there and see if they're still commenting about that. Point is, go to twitter.com. you can immediately start using it without any activity proactively on yours. And Jim will actually tell you far more about the search functions that are available. But for most people, even if you don't plan to tweet every day, as they say, and by the way, get used to the fact that everything to do with Twitter, it's annoying, it's grating almost when you first get involved in this area. It begins with TW, so all of the add-on tools like Twello and TweetDeck, and everything begins with a TW. They even call people who tweet Tweeple. It just gets rather annoying. But, you know, get used to it. It allows you to share and discover what's happening right now anywhere in the world. And that's true. And the point about it is, the key words I would say there is right now. Twitter is as real-time as it gets. If you think about it, when you do a Google search, those of you who've got blogs or have seen web pages that can be updated, they might not be indexed by Google for hours, days, or a couple of days. So when you do a Google search, you're not getting the greatest, the latest necessarily. There's no guarantee. You will from a major website like the New York Times, but you won't from the back of beyond. With Twitter, it's all real time and it's all indexed by the minute, day, and week. To join you to this is from the previous screen. Sorry, I missed out. To sign up now. Join the conversation. There's that keyword again. Sign up now. You enter your real name, and that wouldn't show on Twitter, but you then choose a username. Now, I would caution you here, don't do what I did. I started playing with Twitter a couple of years ago, and I didn't give it much thought. That town crew I mentioned is in the county of Cheshire in England, like Cheshire Cheese and the Cheshire Cat. So I called myself Cheshire Lad. I don't know why, but I did. Well, it was fun, and nobody else had that name. It has to be unique, of course, but it becomes your handle, like in the old CB radio days, forever. Now, I probably should have given some of you might know, my professional career focuses on speech writing. It would have been far more powerful to have been the speechwriter or speechwriter one or something that might have been available. Probably neither of those are probably available right now because there's millions of people joining Twitter.
Ian, yeah. I would definitely second that. I would say that maybe in the 90s it would have been much more fun to try to find those cute names like Fuzzy Slippers or Iron Worker or whatever it is that you might think is fun to you. But in today's environment, social networking is really about connecting with people. So if you can get your name on Twitter, take it. If you have to add your middle name, do it. But be real.
Yep, I agree 100%. Anyway, choose your name, a password, your username, a password, and email. Once you've chosen it and you create an account, now you can, of course, have multiple accounts. Nobody's going to stop you doing that. I think you have to have a different email address for each one. But I would say keep your life simple. Choose a name, preferably your own. You have to put a one at the end, fine. So once you've done that, you can then go into the next stage, which is where it gets to be fun. You can find people that you might know. Now, again, staying with the UK theme, there's a well-known program, if you happen to live in Scotland, called The Ian Anderson Show, which is hosted weekday evenings, and it plays 60s folk music and stuff, and I love it. I get it through the internet. So I thought I'd look for Ian Anderson, the host of the show. You could, of course, look for anybody, Barack Obama or Michael Jackson or whatever, that might be, well, Michael Jackson, sorry about that. He wouldn't be tweeting anymore, would he? But whoever's around, Jim Correa. Now, if you look for Ian Anderson, there's his show. He has a Twitter page for his show. There's his photograph. There's some updates on the show. It's obviously a nicely designed one with some custom background over here with the kind of music he plays. Not too active. He's got 132 followers. This was actually about a month ago. But you'll find, there are people with millions of followers like Barack Obama, people with only a few. That's one way to use Twitter. Moving along, what I'm going to do here quickly is show you this is the home page on Twitter. So this is what when you have an account, I'm logged in as Cheshire Lad, you'll see up here. I have 1,300 followers, I'm following 1,400, those are usually in balance, and I've done around 300 messages over the couple of years. I don't use it every day by any means. But this is the home page, as you see here, and it's just a constant stream with 1,300, now this is what kind of gives people vertigo about Twitter. If I'm following 1,300 people, this thing is refreshing and refreshing. I mean, even if people only did one tweet a day, there'd be many, many a minute. And this just flows by. It's like a river. Think of it as a river that you could put your fishing line in. You don't need to watch the river every second of every day. Sometimes it's fun, but, you can glance at it, but that's typically not the way that people do follow and get updates on Twitter. When I tweet as Cheshire Lad, there's an at symbol in front of my name. You can see over here the at symbol here. That's key because everybody in Twitter, that's how they're referred to. This person is Brain Game and so on. So if you see an at, that refers to a person. You then can go to the next screen. Whoops. I seem to have got stuck on the yellow. What do I do, Jim? Oh, normal. There we go. There we go. Okay. Whoop, go back one. So this is where you log in. I'll move pretty quickly by this. This is kind of very basic. The one thing I'll highlight is the one-line bio. You get 160 characters. Put some keywords in there. I put Silicon Valley freelance speechwriter. That's indexed. People will search on that. Here's some of the people I follow, and you can see they have their latest tweets here that some of them did 3 hours ago, some of them did 24 minutes ago, and that's where I'm looking at my followers. Then find out down here, there are people with company names. So this isn't an individual, this is an organization, and just like Ian Anderson's show, you can have those kind of updates. There is a thing called direct messages where you can privately communicate. You put the initials DM in front of it, or you can pick off a drop-down list up here, the people you're following, and send a direct message. You'd be very careful not to put anything private and forget to do the direct message, or else the rest of the millions of people on Twitter will get that. So here's my update. Here's the kind of update I do where I say to people, for instance, that I'm presenting Practical Social Networking. This was when we first did this back in August. And it shows that I can actually embed a short URL. This is a very useful way of pointing people in Twitter language, in tweets, to other websites or blog entries. And you can embed links to photographs. You can embed links to websites. This becomes very useful, as you'll see, for you as a fisher of this information, somebody with a fishing pole to go capture this information. So the things to remember about Twitter: choose the login name wisely. You know, give it some thought. Obviously, you can't choose the same name as somebody else has got. You won't find that, Coach won't be available anymore. You know, but maybe Fairfax Coaches or San Rafael Coach or something like that. So be creative. Set up a profile. Maybe remember to add that bio. Find people to follow, and you know, you can find these days people putting their Twitter handle or their Twitter name on their business cards, or you can find them through asking people who you know, and tweet. Start using it.
All right, so now it's time to extend Twitter. Now, Ian liked to say that Twitter for him was like a river of information. The way I like to pull Twitter in my brain and make sense of it is I like to think of it as just a blog. And hopefully everybody on this call that's kind of been with us through the beginning knows what a blog is, and they know that they can actually go out and see people's blogs. You can see Ian Griffin's blogs. Well, Twitter is a blog that belongs to the world. That means everybody in the world could post on this blog. And as Ian noticed, so many people are posting, it makes this river of information. What I like to use Twitter for is to filter that information for what's relevant to me. One of those ways of filtering is through following people. So if I only wanted to follow Ian Griffin or somebody else, that filters all those blog posts down to just those people. But I don't use following to filter. I use keywords and searches to follow Twitter and follow topics. And that's what I'm going to show you, how I use Twitter and how powerful it can be. So we're going to talk about using keywords, looking for conversation topics. Ian's mentioned people, or even events. You can follow events through Twitter. And that's where it brings its power to the forefront. So this is the page that I see when I log into Twitter. You'll notice that Ian and my page looks a little different, and that's because Ian actually added a nice picture in the background, whereas I left it the default state.
Also, Jim, it's probably obvious to everybody, you don't have quite as many followers.
That's right. Yeah. Well, one of the things that go hand in hand with Twitter is the more people that you follow, the more people that follow you, because usually it's a reciprocation. So if I wanted to follow Ian would probably follow me back. Since I'm not following anybody, I've got very small amount of followers, and that's okay, because I'm not using Twitter to get my message out. I'm using Twitter to research my industry. So the first thing that I'm going to do is in this area underneath the word favorites, there's an area that says search. And I'll type something in that area, like the word Wi-Fi, because I run the public Wi-Fi project or public wireless internet project. And when I search for that word Wi-Fi, I see every post that's been made with the word Wi-Fi in it. And so I can see what people are talking about in that topic, in that subject area. And you can see how this one was done a half a minute ago from TweetDeck. And you'll see the most recent conversations on Wi-Fi. Now, I can also choose to make that search a little bit differently. And I can search make my search pound Wi-Fi. Now, that pound symbol, or another word for the pound symbol, is called a hashtag. That's synonymous, hashtag and the pound symbol. Twitter and the folks who use Twitter have come to the understanding, just by simply using the application, that if you want to talk about a specific subject, then put a pound in front of it, and it makes other people, it makes it easier for other people to follow.
So the point here is, Jim, that on the previous screen, a couple of those didn't look like they were really talking about Wi-Fi. It might have been some like that guy down there, Kimber Wee. We won't, or gal, I guess. I don't think it's really to do with radio, but it's, you know, maybe it's a pet name for their wife or something.
It could be. My wifey or whatever.
Yeah, so pound sign Wi-Fi really focuses. That's not going to be an accident. That means it's definitely about wireless.
That's right, wireless internet. And so that's what you might hear of. And this is probably the most confusing and scary thing for people that start Twitter is this thing called a hashtag. It's nothing. Hashtag is nothing more than another name for the pound symbol. And so if you wanted to tweet around a subject like if you're a motivational speaker or a coach, you can tweet around the hashtag pound motivation. And then now you can start creating your own topics.
Well, you can use that. If somebody else is using pound motivation, you'll still be able to use it, but yours and theirs will get mixed up.
That's,
I guess the
yeah.
example was the conference you and I were at. I'm sorry if I'm
That's
speaking
right.
offended here, but it was a National Speakers Association 2009 conference, and ahead of time, people on Twitter agreed to use hashtag NSA09.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's correct. And in Twitter, nobody owns anything. It, you can't say, I want to stake my claim. The only thing that you own is your username. But if you do nothing with it, it's worthless. So you're just really having a conversation. We know of a lady named Patricia Fripp, who's a great speaker. She's in an organization of ours. And so if I wanted to see what people were saying about Patricia Fripp, I can do that. And I can search for conversations around her name, not just about what she's saying. That's different from following someone.
Actually, just go back one, Jim. I'm sorry, I wanted to point out one other thing to people. When you do that, keep your eyes open, because that very first tweet, you says, the lady, you've got a clue there, following Patricia Fripp, at P. Fripp. So if you want to, you could click on P. Fripp and ask to follow her. So you could put in a request to follow her, and then if she agrees, you'd be part of her circle. Most people do agree.
That's right, yeah. And that's how you get your followers up and your following up, too.
Right.
Now, Ian mentioned earlier that we went to a conference, the National Speakers Association 2009 conference. And just as members, it was very informal, we all agreed, and they had announced this as well on the stage, that if you tweet around the hashtag, which means pound, NSA09, then you can have conversations through Twitter. And so we ended up having a tweet-up, or everybody met at a certain location. They call that a tweet-up. And it was fun.
Yeah, to state the obvious, if you didn't go to the conference, but if you're interested in it, those messages are still on Twitter. So you go back, you do this search at the bottom of the screen, you just keep on going, go back, and you'll get back to the time during the conference when you'll see many dozens of tweets an hour as the conference unfolded.
All right, so that's how I use Twitter, to search. But I'm going to show you even a deeper way of using Twitter. And Twitter realized that it's easy enough to search from their login page, but they needed to provide something that was more robust. So they created a site called search.twitter.com. And you notice that it looks a lot like Google, but it's just searching the Twitter posts. And you can use this just like Google and type whatever you want. Now, there's a thing that says advanced search, and I truly believe that they mislabeled this. I think they should have called this beginner search because it really makes things extremely easy. So I'm going to click on the advanced search, but keep in mind, this is what I would recommend for everybody. When you get into this advanced search area, I'm going to type in the words LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter in the section that says all of these words. And what that's going to do is it's going to search all the tweets out there for those three words, and all three of those words have to be in it in order for it to show up. And you'll see the words are highlighted in black. If one of these posts didn't have all three of those words in, it would not show up in this particular search. And so if I use that same thing, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, but I put it in any of these words, I'm going to get a different result, because now it's going to show me any tweet that had at least one of those words. And so you can see the first one just had the word Twitter. The next one has, two down, has Twitter and Facebook. And so now that's kind of a different way of searching. And then if we wanted to go even further, we can look for exact phrases like Facebook privacy. And what this will do is search for all the tweets that are that have the word Facebook privacy in that order. And you can see them all here highlighted in black. Now I'm going to show you something that I use Twitter for in my local area. I like to do some research on social networking, of course, because we do webinars on social networking. So I'm going to look for the exact phrase social networking. You'll notice in the places, I wrote my city's name, Morgan Hill, California, and I said within 100 miles, because I want to see conversations that are happening near where I live. And then I scrolled down, and on the results per page, I'll change that to 50 so I can see more information. And I also decided I want 140 characters isn't enough for me, so I want to see tweets where people are actually linking me to more information. You can see there's all this information that I can be collecting. I click on search, and it shows me the results based upon all those criteria. And you can see in Mountain View, somebody had made a post on Twitter and such. Now, why do I call this the beginner's method of searching versus the advanced method of searching? Because if you wanted to type this search in without going through that special little screen, this is what you would have had to type in. Now, I have no idea what that means. I'm not going to waste a brain cell trying to figure it out. I'm always going to use that advanced search through Twitter's search.twitter.com, and it will get me the exact information. So the things that I'd like you to remember when it comes to extending Twitter is search proactively. Don't just follow blindly. Make sure that Twitter has a purpose for you, and use it for research on your topic area, understanding the market, or whatever it might be in your particular business. That search, the advanced search, is for beginners. Don't be intimidated by the word advanced. It's definitely something I suggest every single person use. And stay focused. Make sure that you're not using Twitter for things like chatting with your family and then in the next minute putting out specific marketing material on your business, because you're going to confuse your followers.
Okay. Well, that... we're crossing ourselves. Okay. That is the end of the section of the webinar specifically on Twitter. Like, we had webinars in the last 4 weeks that were specifically on Facebook and LinkedIn, and others specifically on YouTube and podcasting. What we're going to do now is try and put a bow around the whole 5-week series, talking about, you see, the problem or the misconception is people say, well, gee, there's so many of these social networks out there, I don't even have time to check my email every day. You've convinced me that LinkedIn might be worth it or blogging might be worth it, but I can't then take on the others. And, you know, I can do a blog, but I can't do LinkedIn and Twitter and the other. You know, it's taken me 2 hours to do a blog a week. Remember those mouse symbols we showed in the first webinar? Well, the good news is intelligently integrating these, as I'll show you in a second, allows you to maximize your exposure on multiple social networks and track multiple social networks without needing an exponential amount of time. This is how it works. So, the integration options, and this isn't exhaustive, but it's to give you an idea. We just talked about Twitter and these tweets, these updates, like I did the one on practical social networking. The webinar series is kicking off, and I put a link to the announcement. That automatically shows up on my Facebook, and it could show up on my blog. Likewise, if I did an update on Facebook, if you remember back, and those many of you may use Facebook, you can have those go from Facebook to Twitter in your blog. Or another option would be to have your blog postings, and this is what I tend to do. I live kind of around my blog. It's been around 4 years. I have, I don't know, 1,000 readers a week. So I tend to put most of my effort in there. That's sort of to me is the hub of my social networking activity. And I just, as you'll see, I make sure that my blog postings are updated to Facebook and LinkedIn, and I could choose for them to be on Twitter as well. Now, the obvious point here is you don't want to get your wires crossed. You don't want to have an update going to Twitter from Twitter to your blog, and then your blog back to Twitter. And, I mean, you could get things just end. It's an interesting experiment. Maybe you could just get this endless, bounce of tweets and updates like you see when you stand in front of two mirrors, in the back, one in front of you, one behind you. You don't want to do that. You want to, as Jim said a minute ago, focus. For me, it's the blog, and I put those updates on Facebook and LinkedIn, and that's what I'll be showing you. But the point is, you're here, you're updating once, and that content could go out through your blog, WordPress blog, could go out through Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, or podcasting, to the different communities of people. And the point is, not everybody, say I was just a blogger, I was a dyed-in-the-wool, everything got to be on my blog, I'm not interested in this. Well, what about the people who don't read my blog? They might follow me on Twitter, they might happen to come across me on Facebook or LinkedIn, or they might just be searching YouTube or listening to podcasts. So much of the content that you do, it's like that spoke of the wheel thing. If this is the hub, make sure you're hanging out, you've got a presence on these others. Let's take an example. Let's say we wanted to use Twitter that we were just shown by Jim, and we've given this sort of example. Well, I did some of the examples of how to do a tweet, and we want to have those updates show up on Facebook. Now, Facebook, and here's my Facebook page. Facebook allows you a space here that says what's on your mind. So I could have done this, but you remember it's the same thing you saw on Twitter. That's where it came from, because it says via Twitter last Tuesday. So I didn't type it in here. I typed it on Twitter, and it automatically showed up here, and it gets pushed down into the newsfeed that we've talked about, the newsfeed that people see when they click on home, and all my followers or all my friends on Facebook will see this. So I didn't retype this. It's automatic. What you do is search for Twitter, word Twitter, up in the corner here in Facebook, and it'll come up with the application. Now, Facebook is filled with applications. There's applications that allow you to give people virtual flowers. There's applications that allow you to track, your college alumni friends or whatever. There's a dozen applications. Here are some of them, Flower Bouquet, iHeart, and so on. There's an application for Twitter. What it does is, and I've got one screen here that leads you through a somewhat complex series of steps, but it's pretty well menu-driven. First of all, when you choose the application that we would have found on the previous screen, if I click there, if I click on Twitter, then I get this screen that comes up. The Twitter application lets me see what my friends are up to on Twitter and updates my Twitter status right from Facebook and vice versa. So I view the application. The application can be added to your Facebook account. You add the application, and then it shows you here, from Twitter to Facebook. Two directions, and it gives you choices. Be sure to read these choices. These are your, don't just accept the default settings. So you first of all need to allow the application to know who you are and access. You can choose to have a box or not in your profile. That means people will see that you're using this application. You can also place a link. You can publish stories in the newsfeed or mini feed. You can place a link below the profile picture. That would even make it more apparent. And you can also have notifications via email. I mean, this is what you want to avoid doing unless necessary, because you don't want to sort of bury yourself in unnecessary email. Add it to there. And here it says the final choice is, do you want Twitter to update your Facebook status? When you click on that, that's what I did, and that's how I got that screen. If you allow Twitter extended access to your Facebook account, then you click on that and authorize it. And it warns you, Twitter was not created by Facebook. You should only grant access if you trust this application. The reason they have that in there is Facebook has what's known as an open API. And anybody, any teenager in their room, could write applications. I don't think there's any kind of, real bad ones out there. Facebook would remove them. But obviously, Twitter is a major site, so you authorize that. So that would give you that following step by step, choose the Twitter application, say update my Facebook page from Twitter, then whenever you do a Twitter update, it appears on Facebook and gives you that status update that your friends who don't use Twitter can read, and that's the reason to do it. Let's take another example. This is the one I really like. This allows me to take my blog postings and put them on my profile on LinkedIn. So back a couple of weeks ago, we talked all about LinkedIn. Here's my profile on LinkedIn. We've gone through how you create these, how it's important to have the website names, not just my website and my blog. If we scroll down here, so imagine we're scrolling down below what you can see at the top of my profile. Here's my professionally speaking blog. And this is from a month ago when I first shot the screen. And it says, here's my blog. I want to show all the recent posts from my blog, or I could show only the recent posts which I tag, the way of tagging posts, LinkedIn. So I could selectively feed my blog updates to LinkedIn because I might have some that I don't want. Obviously, LinkedIn is primarily for professional users. You know, if I'm blogging about non-professional things, I could always control it there. Now, this requires of you to have a WordPress blog, WordPress.com, or in my case, WordPress.org. But once I've done that, automatically, without any extra time and effort on my part, these postings appear whenever I do a blog. And they're nicely done. There's six or eight lines, and then people would click to read more, and eventually they could click through to my blog. So it isn't a lot of work. It just allows that update. Likewise, that was LinkedIn from my blog. I can do Facebook from my blog, and that's what I do here. There's the posting from how to deal with a hostile audience. And you see, I get comments on the blog posting through Facebook, not just through the blog. It's another way of extending the social media cartwheel, if you want to call it. Here's where I do that. I choose applications down here, and I choose notes off the menu choice that comes up for applications. There's many dozens of applications in Facebook, as we said. And the notes, that is a separate setting, allows me here to see my notes or notes about me. So I went through that kind of fast. We don't have time to go into every detail of every application. There's many other applications around this whole social networking universe. There are ways to integrate Twitter feeds called TweetDeck so you can view those thousands of people in different categories. The point about this integration is it allows you to, as they used to say about the Java world, write once and run everywhere. Doesn't need to duplicate effort. It integrates these social media outlets to save time. You choose a focal point, but realize, you know, if you're an avid blogger, not everybody in the universe wants to check out your blog every day, but they might come across you on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn if you choose these systems.
All right. So I've noticed that we had some great questions being posted, and I'd like to encourage everybody, go ahead and throw some more questions out there. We definitely will have time at the end of the call to get to those. In the meantime, though, I'd like to talk a little bit about having a purpose of what you're doing, and it's not just for fun. Now, Twitter in specific, a lot of people are initially scared of that Twitter. Like, what is that for? But that really is one of the funner social networks that I've seen because it's so easy. And I would love to see everybody on this call create an account on Twitter tonight and just put out three tweets. It's only 140 characters that you can type. It's really not that hard. And just put anything. Hey, I just listened to Jim and Ian, and they did good, or they didn't do good, or whatever you'd like to say. But when you've finally gotten used to these social networks, what I'd like to encourage you to do is to have a purpose. And don't turn things around on your customers and get them going the wrong way. So what's your goal for your business? Do you have a product that you're selling? Is it maybe a service that you provide? Or are you looking to get a job? Whatever your goal is, even if it's just finding new friends, be certain and clear about that goal in your mind. So when you're using social networks and social media, you're able to accomplish that goal. A lot of times, what we see is people sending folks in all these different directions. They've got a storefront, a website, Facebook page, LinkedIn, blog, and nobody knows where to go. I got an email this afternoon from somebody that was marketing their seminar series, and at the end of the email, it listed every single one of their links, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. And I started to go to those links, and I started wondering, why am I going there? What's the purpose of me going to all these links? I just didn't quite get it. And it comes down to why we use social media. If we looked at a wheel, and we've used this analogy before, if we considered each of the spokes the different social media, like Facebook, another spoke might be Twitter, another one might be LinkedIn, and all the other ones that are out there, at the center of that spoke might be our blog or our website. Or if we're a business selling items, it might be a storefront. what we're doing is we're trying to bring people in through social media into the area that we're doing business so that we can sell things. Now, in the end of the day, we're not here just to build a wheel. What we're really trying to do is turn our business into a race car. So let's take a look at how race cars are built. And I bet you didn't know it was this easy. That's as hard as it gets, right? A race car, you notice that there's four wheels. It's not just that you build one wheel. And we're only talking about social networking. So an example, if you use your website for people to buy things from you or to promote your services, social networking would be the spokes to promote the website. But you still have other wheels on the car, so don't forget that you still have to do direct sales. You might have public seminars to promote your services. Hint, hint, Ian and I are using GoToWebinar as our public seminars. And then you might also engage in traditional advertising, whether it's on the radio or internet-based advertising or however you do it. But the goal here is you're building a vehicle to get your business to that next level. You're not just having fun. Now, a lot of folks ask the question, well, I like to have my friends know all the different networks I'm on. And this is what I felt like when I saw the email from that person that was sending me to all their social networks. I wasn't clear where they wanted me to go. What I'd like to see when people use social networks is direction. Hey, you're following me on Twitter. See the latest products that I have on my website or on my Facebook page. Hey, these are all the seminars that I'm putting on. And Ian is a real active user of his blog, and you see how uses his blog and Twitter to integrate all those social networks because he's bringing it all back to his speech writing services. Now, what happens if you finally get your people moving in that one-way direction, and then you say to yourself, but wait, I have more than one product. Not only do I have speaking services, but maybe I also have coaching services. Well, that just means that you're adding more wheels to the car. Now, one of the great examples of how a gentleman's used Twitter is in his creme brulee cart. This gentleman sells creme brulee in Oakland, California, and his product is the creme brulee. He went up to somebody in line and noticed that he hadn't seen them before, and most of the people that buy his creme brulee are always the same people. And he asked them how they found out about his cart, and he said someone tweeted about it. So what did he do? He created a Twitter account, and on that Twitter account, he tweeted every day where his cart was going to be located. You can see he's got 7,219 followers. Now, you know, he's not necessarily a millionaire because this happened, but it definitely had a great impact on his business. He was very clear in what he did. He sells creme brulee, and he was clear in that he used Twitter to get people to his creme brulee cart. And here's that example I was giving earlier of if you have more than one product, just create a race car with multiple wheels and you'll be good to go. So the things that I want you to remember when building a theme around what you're doing is define your destination before you start driving. Understand what your market is and help your customers know what you want them to do. You're building support for a bigger purpose. It's not all about social networking. Although a lot of people want you to think that if you just get a Facebook account, you're going to be rich or your business is going to be successful. This is just one of the spokes that's going to create the wheel for your car, and you have three other wheels, hopefully, and you're going to be building a good business. And the bottom line is don't confuse your market. It's great to have all these different social networks. Make sure you're using them for the same purpose to drive your market to whatever it is that you're selling your product or service.
Yeah. Now, Jim, just to put a bow on what you just said, I think we want to make it clear in this seminar series, in this webinar series, we are really focusing on the practical nuts and bolts of getting onto the social networks, building your blog site from those who don't have one, opening an account on Twitter. There are actually whole universes of social media marketing experts out there who take a different tack. They don't help you with the basics, but what you might want to do after this webinar series is over is go into that arena of, for instance, in the corporate world, there's webinars, day-long meetings, week-long gatherings of corporate communications people struggling with this, how do we promote our brand on social media, which, you know, you can learn from even if you're an individual entrepreneur or a consultant with clients. It's a new world, though, and nobody has all the answers, and sometimes it's counterintuitive. Like, who would have believed that somebody blending an iPhone in a blender would have been seen by 7 million people? And that so expect the unexpected. There are some of the questions we've had today are about the rules, like, well, can I do too many tweets or this and that and the other? There are very few rules in this universe. You will get sort of, you know, obscene language or anything else, like in any human gathering will get you ostracized, but yeah. You know, or kicked off. But normal commercial activity, you just have to be aware of what your presence is online, just like you are aware in social settings.
All right. Yeah. So let's go through the practical applications. And if you could do me a favor, spend a couple of minutes on yours. I'll spend a couple of minutes on mine, and then we'll have good...
I think we need time for Q&A, so we won't go into huge depth. I think the first time we did this webinar, we spent a bit of time. I'd like to focus on... This is where in past webinars, Jim and I have talked about how we've used these tools, but I'd like to focus on some real exemplary users of social media out there. And Guy Kawasaki, we've mentioned once before in our webinars, is a well-known Silicon Valley pundit, used to work for Apple Computers. He has social media down. I mean, he has his own website here, guykawasaki.com, and he says right there, oh, if you like this, read my blog. So down here, he's got his blog, and you can search his blog. You can also, though, it says here, follow me on Twitter. So you see what he's doing. He's sort of setting a little sort of paper trail where you can find him. So here he is on Twitter. And he is very, very active on Twitter. In fact, his cover was blown a while back when it was revealed, shock horror, that he actually employed people to do research for him to help him tweet on, you know, with authority on different topics. Now, that that seemed to offend some people at the time, but it's no more different than any executive with a business, you know, getting an outsourced or in-house person to help do research for them. He's also got down here, you see, search for him on YouTube, there are 1,000 plus videos on Guy Kawasaki. Some of them he's done by himself, some of them are people in the audience when he presents. I'm sorry, I've worked LinkedIn, I'm mixing it up. Twitter's over here. So follow me on Twitter, here's Twitter. And yes, this is where he's active. He's got 164,000 followers. He's following 152,000 people. He obviously isn't sitting at home himself, reading the output of 152,000 people. And the reason he's got 164,000, he actually has his major business is a thing called AllTop, which I won't go into, but it's a kind of website of websites that he's built as part of his main business. And people just love it, and they follow him because he's clued in. But he did use outside researchers and people sort of co-posting for him. He's got 28,000 tweets. That's probably in the space of a year or two. And then finally... So here's his LinkedIn, I got that mixed up, and then his Facebook. And you can see, he says here on his LinkedIn, a little update with a small URL to a book he's released. On Facebook, I'm trying to see, he doesn't look like, I don't think he feeds his 164,000 tweets into Facebook. And that is one thing, I think there is a throttle on that application. It won't, if you're doing 50 tweets a day, it won't output everyone to Facebook automatically. I think it's limited to, I want to say, a handful, like a dozen. But anyway, there is Guy Kawasaki's universe. Here is his Twitter tips. Now, you can ask 10 people about Twitter, you get 10 different answers. Jim and I have said a few things that other people disagree with. He says use Twitter as a tool. He says get as many followers as you can. Other people say no, be discriminating. But his business model is the law of big numbers. The more followers, the more people are talking about what you do. Monitor what people are saying about you, your company, and your product, and make it easy to post to Twitter. That's his rules. Other people, as you saw with Jim, he's happy not to follow anybody, just to have 40 followers, and it can be equally effective. There's no right or wrong way to do it.
I'd like to second that, Ian. I think everybody should know that. Don't worry about whether you're doing it right or wrong. Just do it. And as you're doing things, you'll learn how it best works for you. What's right for one company or one person isn't going to be right for everybody. A company that I liked to promote on the best practices is a company by the name of SageRock, and they won the 2009 Best of Tech Award, Best Use of Social Media by a Business. They're a marketing agency. It was started by a gentleman by the name of Sage and his wife Rocky Lewis, and that's where they came up with the name SageRock. They started working in the area of search engine optimization. And if any of you on the call own a website, you've probably been approached by a company saying that They'd like to charge you a lot of money to optimize your website for search engine optimization. Their customers started coming at them asking why, if they were so high on Google, weren't they seeing an equal number of sales? Well, that was a good question for the company SageRock, and they started doing research. And what they started focusing on wasn't how high you were on Google, but how many clicks that you had or click-throughs that you had on Google. And through their research, they found that it was the social media sites, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube, that had the most click-throughs. The things that SageRock wanted to provide on the tips of using social media is start with a three-pronged approach. You're going to monitor social media using things like Google Alerts, as Ian had identified in the past, or like I noted on search.twitter.com. Once you started monitoring it, create a policy for your company on how you'll use social media. And this is kind of what I was saying about having a purpose. If you're a one-person show, create the policy for yourself to keep you on track. If you have employees or virtual assistants or any other assistants, the policy will be great to keep them on track. And then finally, once you've monitored it and you've created your policy, you can start interacting with social media. All right. Ian, it's time for us to go ahead and engage with some of these questions. I think I jumped forward too much.
Right. Well, we've had a lot of questions come in, and I've done what I've done in previous webinars. I've sent brief answers to people, so we kind of cover them, because there's more in the remaining 9 minutes than we could actually speak to. What I'd like to do is, so if you go to the questions window, you can see most people have responded to, so everybody can read them. I think there's, though, more to be said about these questions. There's a number that have asked, you know, for instance, with Twitter and the linking to Facebook, will my Facebook wall posting show up on Twitter? And the answer is they can. If I didn't maybe make it clear enough when I was showing that application. If you go through the application yourself, you'll see how it works. You can choose to be unidirectional or bidirectional. You can have the Twitter show up on Facebook, and Facebook updates, if you wish, show up on Twitter. You don't want to do both, or else you're just getting that endless loop, would be my advice. I generally just do the Twitter updates showing up on Facebook, because that saves me typing in Facebook announcements that I make. But if I was tweeting about a whole bunch of stuff I didn't want to show up on Facebook, I wouldn't do that. Do you have any comments about that, Jim?
No, I think that you're right on that one. I did see some questions, though, that were there was a confusion on what about this pound and the at symbol and hashtag and things like that?
Right.
If you don't mind, I'll go ahead and jump onto that one.
Yeah.
So the hashtag or the pound, the purpose of that symbol is to identify whether you're speaking about something as a topic or if it's just something within your tweet. And here's an example. I might have tweeted that I went to Home Depot to buy something for a project that I'm working on. That has nothing really to do with Home Depot. That was just a place that I went. On the other hand, if I wanted to complain about Home Depot, I might put, I went to pound Home Depot and got the worst service possible. And that lets everybody know that Home Depot is a subject of this tweet that I want people to be able to follow. That's why you would use it. In the person's question, they said, how about the word wine? How would you use it with wine? Well, you know, if my wife was tweeting, she'd say, Jim's whining again about all the things he has to do for me around the house. Now, on the other hand, if she would have put, I want Jim to go pick me up some pound wine at the local store, it shows that wine now is a subject of the thing.
Although, actually, Jim, I know you were just speaking off the top of your head there. That's not the kind of tweet that you typically have a hashtag about. You wouldn't hashtag a random word like, I want Jim to pick me up some wine.
Right,
what
right.
You might say is, best pound sign wine I ever drank.
That's right.
2001 Merlot, Stag's Leap, whatever. And that will identify it to wine enthusiasts. Otherwise, wine enthusiasts would have to search for the word Stags and Leap and blah, 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 you know, all the names of the wineries. We're kind of guessing here, but I would encourage everybody to go to that search.twitter.com or just the main window and put in, you know, there's no rules about this. So there might have been, I'm sure there's somebody using hashtag wine, and see what kind of tweets you get. It's probably three or four people maybe stepping on each other's toes. The final thing I'll mention, as we said, with our conferences, many hashtags are actually just like, you know, like like license plates on cars, NSA09 isn't a word. It was a way of identifying the conference from 2009 that NSA held. And there's some hashtags which are just like, you know, J3B21 might refer to something else.
Right, right. And again, Ian, just like you said, there is no right or wrong. So you're not going to have the Twitter police come after you. Just try it.
Now you wanted to address the at symbol.
That's right. Now, the at sign is so that you know that you're talking about a person as opposed to a subject. One of the things, even though I'm not following anybody, when you create an account on Twitter, you're always following yourself. So any tweets that I make, I see, and any tweets that people make where they put the at sign and then my username is Jim Carrillo, I will get those, regardless of whether I'm following you. So, if you all are online tonight and you want to send out your tweets, make sure that you put at Jim Carrillo or at Cheshire Lad, and Ian and I will be able to see your tweets because we follow ourselves.
And also, those at symbols become like in a web page, they become links. So if somebody says, I liked at Cheshire Lad's last comment, that may be what's called a retweet. Somebody asked about retweets. Retweets are a way of sort of saying, hey, Joe said this really good thing. So it might be retweet at Joe, whatever they said about the sports team or something. Now, retweeting is considered to be good, but obviously you don't want to overdo it. You don't just want to retweet everything everybody else says, but it's like a way of acknowledging, I heard this really good thing that this guy, you know, if you were at a cocktail party or a dinner party, I heard this really good thing that, you know, this professor said last week. And he claims that, you know, whatever, well, you could retweet that claim. But if you put the at symbol in the person's name, it becomes a link. So as a Twitter browser or user, you can click on that, read their bio, and find out more about them. And then, if you wish to, choose to follow them.
That's
and by
right.
the way, we didn't mention this, I don't think. On Facebook and LinkedIn, you need the person's, you can't just follow somebody. They have to agree to be friended by you or agree to be whatever. No, nothing in Twitter like that. You can follow people. They can't stop you following them, I don't believe, can they?
They can't stop. Consider Twitter as you're posting up something for the world to see. So if the world wants to follow you, they could follow you.
Yeah, so if you follow a famous person, actually there's a strategy some people adopt. They find people on Twitter who've got lots and lots of followers. They then follow them, thinking that it's like the tail of the comet thing. Some of the people following that famous person might start following them. This is for people who want to play the I've got more followers than you have game. But people like Guy Kawasaki also see it as a way of extending their circle of influence. So say you're a job seeker and you found the Twitter handle or name of a hiring manager or a senior executive at a company and you followed them, they might be being followed by a lot of people in that company. And you could sort of elbow or ease your way into that conversation, not being a member of the company, and display some expertise. And, you know, people have got hired and got contracts through intelligent use of Twitter.
Okay. And then I'm going to address one of the questions, and I'm going to hit three questions in one. You only have 140 characters in Twitter. You have to recognize that if you say something good, someone's going to want to retweet what you said, which means it's going to add the letters RT and your username. So if you said something really good and you used up all 140 characters and someone retweets you, it's going to cut off the end of your tweet. So I always try to use maybe up to 130 characters. If you really wanted to promote something like you just wrote a great article on your website, let's say I wrote a good article at jimcarrillo.com, what I would do on Twitter is I would give a one-sentence synopsis of the article that I wrote, the post, and then I would want to put the URL of that post. But since my URL is so long, jimcarrillo.com/blah-blah-blah-blah-blah, I can go to a special website called tinyurl.com, and they have a service where they'll take your big old long link to your post and give you a little tiny URL, and that way you're not using up all the characters in Twitter.
Okay, well, with that, we seem to have come to close to the top of the hour and close to the top of the whole 5 hours of the webinar series. What we would like to do is invite you, like we do every week, to visit socialnetworking101.biz. We won't be offering this series again in the near future, but if you missed any of them, or if you just want to listen to our voices over and over, or as you fall asleep at night, you can get a recorded box set of all 5 hours of the webinar. And for $60 more, you can get the full transcript of each webinar, the screenshots with the full set of notes, and the to-do list that we recommend, the order you do the approaches to these social networks, that's called a social networking, practical social networking workbook. We are also offering, as we will take the liberty because we have a few hundred names of people who registered over the 5 weeks, you'll get a, we won't spam you, you'll get probably one email next week announcing some availability. The workbook isn't yet available. It will be in the next couple of weeks. We'll send an email out when that's available. And we also have this clinic if you'd like to actually get yourself started with a website, a blog, and a Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter account, and have a podcast and YouTube video. You can get all those done for that one low, low price.
That's right. And by the way, for the folks that are still on the call, remember I mentioned that you have to have a purpose? You're looking at our purpose. What we're doing is we're funneling your attention into where we'd like you to go. And so do us a favor, visit that site.
Right. Okay, well, it's been great for the last 5 weeks. And I can be reached, stay in touch with us. I can be reached at ian.griffin@exec-comms.com.
And I'm Jim Carrillo, and you can reach me at me@jimcarrillo.com. Or you can always go to our website, socialnetworking101.biz, for more information.
Okay, thanks a lot, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This has been an audio-only recording. For the complete webinar, including visual screen information, visit socialnetworking101.biz.